Grüezi miteinander, ganz herzlich willkommen und einen wunderschönen guten Tag. Ich melde mich zurück, Weltwoche Daily, spezial aus dem Regierungsflieger der ungarischen Delegation, eben aus Moskau aufgestiegen in die Lüfte Richtung Aserbaidschan. Und ich sitze neben Premierminister Viktor Orban, der auch Präsident des Europäischen Rats ist. Und wir möchten von ihm erfahren, wie er dieses Meeting mit dem russischen Präsidenten im Kreml erlebt hat. Und ich werde jetzt auf Englisch wechseln, damit wir uns verständigen können. Prime Minister, thanks for this opportunity. Yeah, you have met Vladimir Putin in the Kremlin. How is it to talk to a man who commands 6,500 nuclear warheads?
It's special. Just because you can imagine behind him what he is ruling. As you mentioned, the warheads, but, you know, the territory, the people, the whole enormous geographic treasury what they have. So it's a real empire. A man who rule a real empire. So it's a special feeling. But because the fact that this meeting was the number 14, so there was nothing surprise, nothing so. I know already how this feeling is.
So you are like two old tennis players who have played against each other in many occasions. You know the other's move. But tell us, how do you prepare yourself for such a high-pitched, very important meeting? It was a peace meeting. We will talk about your agenda. How do you prepare yourself mentally for a get-together with Putin?
So first of all, our first meeting has happened 2009, when I was that time in opposition. And I visited him in St. Petersburg. And we had a meeting in a library to clarify all the sophisticated and sensible point of the relation between the two countries, because the history of Russia, Soviet Union, and Hungary is rather complicated. They several times attacked and occupied the country, 56 revolution crashed by them. We are very strong anti-communist political party, so it was not an easy job to find the proper basis how we will cooperate in the future.
Let me just make one point here to stress it for our viewers. I mean, you have been one of those young Hungarians who have, you went on the barricades to protest against the Soviet Union. You were a freedom fighter. You worked to chase the Russians out of Hungary, just to give that as a remark.
Even more than that, even in the whole Central European region, let's say the Soviet Union occupied territories from Poland to Hungary. In 89, I was the first political leader, a young one, a small radical anti-communist party, in a public speech, hundreds of thousands of people, who said first time in this region ever that Soviet Union troops should leave Hungary. So the transformation of the world is not just about that the communists let us to have free election and we will introduce democracy, rule of law and so on, freedom. No, this is important but not enough. What we need is national sovereignty and independence. So it was an anti-Soviet statement, of course, because it was considered a radical anti-Soviet something. Even I was criticized from the German language world. I do remember the Social Democrats of Germany said that Viktor Orbán, the crazy young radical in Hungary, said that Russian troops should move out and that will lead us to destroy the Berlin Wall, which is crazy. The Berlin Wall will never destroy it. So in our life, definitely is too radical, too provocative, rather dangerous. That was my first attack on me. That was the first attack on me from the left, liberal something. Of the Germans.
But I mean, Viktor, this is totally crazy. I mean, you have been 30 years ago, you have been attacked of being too critical against the Russians, and now you are criticized. You're not critical enough with the Russians. I feel it's always, for a Hungarian, it's almost, a personal attack if a Hungarian is criticized as being too friendly to Russians, what do you say to those critics who say Orbán, he's this kind of Putin understander, he's a friend of Putin? What do you say to these critics who have a lot of airtime in the media?
So yes, I am criticized that I'm a friend of Putin, but I'm friend of the Hungarians for a second. I'm friend of the peace. That's very important. I'm friend of the peace. The reason why I negotiate with Putin, because I'm looking for the shortest and quickest way how to stop this war and create a peace. But back to your big previous question. So how to prepare? Yeah. So that meeting was prepared in a totally secret way, because I met first I was in Kiev to meet Zelensky, and then when it was concluded, then I started to organize the meeting with Putin. Can you imagine to organize that meeting for 2 days later?
When did you do that? On the highway, on the way back from Kiev to Budapest?
No, I sent a secret message to the foreign minister that he should organize something, because telecommunication is totally under surveillance of other big guys, and I tried to keep it under the carpet as much as I was, till they realized that there is an airplane hired or asking for the Hungarian military plane, asking for a permission to fly over Poland. That was the point when it leaked. But till then, it was totally under control. And I will have some meetings in the next week, which will be equally surprising and still under a very strong control. Just when I will arrive, they will be surprised that I am there. Anyway, so back to the Russians. Mentally, how to prepare yourself mentally? To make peace is a Christian action. It's a Christian attitude-based action. Because if you would like to approach the peace on a political way, you start to become more and more bureaucratic. What kind of negotiation authority you have, what the council will say, what the high foreign policy representation of council will say, Mr. Borrell, so it's getting more and more complicated. So if you would like to behave motivated by moral points, and peace is a moral issue, so you have to prepare yourself spiritually. So that's what I have done, to make a decision knowing that bad reaction will come from the West and Brussels whatsoever, but being convinced that this is the only way and that this is the duty I have to do now, because I remain the only Western leader. I'm the only Western leader now who can have a chance to talk at the same time with Kiev and Moscow. All the others created a situation when they have no chance to direct communicate with the two main actors, especially with the Russians.
Was that a historical week for you, actually, personally, to meet these two war leaders so close in vicinity within a few days? A historical week for Viktor Orbán?
No, if you take it personally, you made a mistake. You make a big mistake. Don't do that. What does not count at all is me. Who cares? There's a far more important issue. This is the point. The peace and the war. Don't forget that we have an interview now. And during this interview, on the front line, at least a dozen young guys died. And every minute. Widows, kids without having fathers, so orphans. So what is going on is so dreadful. It's so emotionally unacceptable, so bad that this is the motivation why, whatever the price I have to weigh politically in Brussels, I try to do something, because I am in a special position, rotating presidency of council, and a man who has a chance to talk to everybody.
How did you open the discussion in a very private manner with President Putin? What was the first thing what you said to him? How did you launch this peace debate?
No, the first moment was for the press. Sit down, official, rather rigid, handshaking, sit down and to have some sentences to inform the public what the hell is going on here, why we are here, what is the aim of the two guys who had the talk. So, and then when the press is out, we can say, President, Vladimir Vladimirovich, how are you? and then the talk has started.
And what did you want to achieve? What was your proposal to President Putin?
My first task was to have a direct communication with the leader of one of the war parties. Because the last meeting of any Western leader with the Russian president happened by the Austrian president when he visited Moscow, if I remember correctly, 22 April. More than 2 years ago. So there is a war, and not a single Western leader had a meeting with the Russian president asking, President, what do you think on that, that and that? How do you see the chance for that and that? Nobody asked directly. Yeah. So my first purpose was to put the questions directly, three questions basically. The first, President, what do you think about the peace plans which are already on the table? We know what the Ukrainians are thinking, what Americans are thinking, what Genève Global Peace Meeting create. But what is your position on that?
And what did he say?
And what is your position on the Chinese proposal as well, you know? And what do you think about the frame and the process, how these peace talks are going on and you are not invited? So what do you think about it? So that was the first to get to know, to clarify what is his understanding. He said that it's obvious that real negotiations cannot happen without the involvement of both parties. So whatever they are doing without him, it means nothing. Which is quite logical anyway. The second, he was very clear that they have already reacted to the first Ukrainian position and proposal, which happened 2022 April. And the, what the reaction was in a document of the Russians to that is still relevant. So on that basis, they are still ready to communicate and negotiate and so on. On the Chinese plan, Chinese-Brazilian plan, he said that they consider everything, even that one. So that was the first. My second question was, President, what, how do you see the chance to have a short, limited peace fire, ceasefire earlier than the real negotiations on peace can start? And he said he's not optimistic on that. He's... You know, Zelensky said that he is not optimistic because the Russians would use it against the Ukrainians. Putin said that the Ukrainians would use it against Russia.
And what did you say to him?
I said, let's consider. I understand your argument, but think about it. Every day is important because we are under the pressure of the time because the dying young people. But at least think about it. Don't throw it away. Just think about it. Next turn we can continue. And the third question was I raised that, President, do you have a vision or even a plan how the security architecture of Europe will look like when the war is over? So not just to concentrate on today, but how the future, which could be the surrounding and arrangement for one or two generations of our kids and grandkids. So what is your plan? I said, we have a detailed plan. So we know how we imagine the relationship between Russia and European Union and the West, and how we should set it up. It's too early to speak about it, but they are ready to consult on anybody with that, on that.
What was your personal impression of Vladimir Putin? We know that the Russians are very emotional people. They say the Russians are friendly people, but when they feel offended, when they not feel respected, they can get extremely angry. What kind of impression did you have of Putin? Is he a bitter man? Is he a man who feels deceived, let down? Is he in combat mode? Is he in full confrontational mode against the West? What was here your finding?
You know, it's first of all, we agreed 2009 that the basis of our cooperation will be mutual respect, and we keep it. So I don't know how he behaving when he is offended, because I never did so. So all the negotiations and talks with him was always in a good mood. That's first. Second, he is 100 more than 100% a rational person. When he negotiates, when he starts to explain a point, when he makes a proposal, saying yes or no, he's super rational. How to say in Hungarian? Cool-blooded, you know? Yeah. Cool-blooded. Yeah. Low-profile, cool-blooded, you know? Very cautious, punctually formation, you know, discipline. It's a real challenge to have a negotiation and to be prepared if you would like to keep the intellectual and political level of him.
How long did you speak? How long did you talk?
This meeting took around 3 hours, and he talked more than me.
It was a big thing for Russia. I talked to many journalists. They said this is great news in Russia that a representative of the European Union comes to Russia. Many journalists from Russia Today, but also from Russia television, they said there is a high interest and there was a lot of attention. How did you witness this? What is your impression? I thought the Russians were somehow happy that finally somebody comes to them and talks to them.
Everybody is aware that sooner or later the war must be concluded. And we can't live eternally in the shadow of the war. So even those who are very committed to fight for Russia or for Ukraine, at the very bottom of their heart knows that, okay, we have to fight now, but sooner or later the peace should come because peace is a good thing. So to create a hope to the Ukrainians and to the Russians that it's not impossible that your leaders are able to find a way, a solution by which you can live even for long, long, long years in a peaceful way. So that's a kind of hope. And if somebody from the West like me is here and provided my questions and say that you count, I'm interested in your opinion because peace must be based on mutual understanding and mutual intention because it must be a solid rock basis. So when they realize that somebody from the West, because West is perceived here as enemy, is coming and say, let's talk in a different way. So that make everybody, I can't say happy, but you know, generate some hope and therefore some good spiritual surrounding.
I mean, your mission this week is a case study in surprise. I mean, you have totally wrong-footed the European Union. Some of your colleagues have twittered. They have commented on that. There was a huge reaction in the media. What is your essential takeaway from these two meetings? Are we closer to peace? What is your assessment of the results of these two meetings?
Okay, let's first reaction on the comments. So, guys, I understand that you are not used to that kind of behavior of the rotating president of the European Union. The last man who probably has done something similar was Nicolas Sarkozy when the invasion of Russia happened on Georgia. And he went there and, you know, Sarkozy provided a political leadership, a political rotating presidency. So till then, everybody is and everything is rather bureaucratic. But if we consider this issue from a bureaucratic eyeglass, a bureaucratic approach, nothing will happen. Because peace cannot be generated by bureaucrats. It's impossible. Okay, bureaucrats are useful. They have to work. High representative, head of the commission, and so on. European institution. Bureaucratic, good, but it's not enough.
Peace, what has to be there, you know, that so peace can be created? What
so first,
essential
first we have to understand that peace will not born by itself. Peace is something which must be done. Many people have to work for it and on it. If you don't do that, there will be no peace. War remain. Bad things will remain, which is delivered by the war. If we would like to change the bad for good, we have to do something. This is the first. And when we realize that we have to do something, it cannot be bureaucratic, it must be political. Because only political leaders can manage to find a way, the shortest way to the peace. So, what is the first step? First step is reopen the diplomatic relationship and reopen the communication channel. That's happened today. So it's one important step forward.
Yeah. And you have opened the heart probably as well. I mean, everybody asks himself now, what's next? What comes next? What do you have in your head? What is the next surprise move by Viktor Orban?
Okay, next surprise on Monday morning. You will see, follow the press.
What do you mean to follow the press? I hope I will be present at this event.
Let's negotiate on that.
Okay. Thank you very much, dear Prime Minister. Meine sehr verehrten Damen und Herren, liebe Freunde, Sie haben es gesehen. Wir haben hier also sehr intime Einblicke bekommen in diese Gespräche, in diese Friedensverhandlungen, beziehungsweise, ich muss mich korrigieren, es waren keine Friedensverhandlungen, sondern es waren ja Klarstellungen, Positionserkundungen. Und wie Viktor Orban gesagt hat, es ging ihm darum, eine Grundlagenarbeit zu machen, die Kanäle zu öffnen, um einen Friedensprozess überhaupt erst in Gang zu bringen. Natürlich hochinteressant, auch für mich hier so nahe dabei gewesen sein zu können, und wir setzen natürlich alles daran, hier weiter aus erster Hand zu berichten. Fürs Erste verabschiede ich mich mal da aus dem Regierungsflugzeug der ungarischen Delegation. Ich danke Ihnen für die Aufmerksamkeit. Bleiben Sie dran, ich melde mich zurück.